much.
Sure.
That was a very informative discussion. And we'll wait to see what the lake is called soon, or the puddle, or whatever it is. Right now I'm filling in for Marion Pavlik, who, due to an injury, was not able to. He's a CDC ATSDR scientist, an MD and a PhD in epidemiology. So let me very rapidly, since we've had a wonderful IOM presentation, let me just run through. I don't have any relationships that I'm willing to disclose to you. Dioxins can cause well-known things like Viktor Yushchenko on the left, the former president of Ukraine, after being poisoned with dioxin deliberately in a political campaign, apparently, and then this acne due to chlorinated organic material, in this case the dioxin that was in Agent Orange, and then afterwards with intensive skin treatment. This is what chloracne was, what was most famous, but it's rare, it's high dose. And dioxin is just one of a number of persistent organic pollutants. They last a long time, as has been mentioned previously. They range from DDT, dioxins, PCBs, brominated flame retardants, and a number of other things. Okay, there are a lot of dioxins, and in industrial countries and non-industrial countries, we all have dioxins in us. The Vietnamese all have dioxins in them. The levels are higher in the south, which is more industrialized. And there's something very close called a dibenzofuran, and these are found in all of us too. And there are a number of PCBs, some of which act like dioxins, but not most of them. And we're not going to do a chemistry lecture. Dioxins have been measured as long as 35 plus years in people after a special exposure. Different kinds of dioxins are found, and we also have found in people and in the environment and in food in Vietnam, different patterns of dioxins. Dioxins from Agent Orange definitely are found in some people in Vietnam now at very high levels, in some food now. And in Binh Hoa, we found up to a million parts per trillion, of a dioxin itself, PCDD, the most toxic dioxin, relatively recently. So it is persistent. As has been described later, you can have animal studies, you can have human studies, and you like to have both. Human epidemiology would be wonderful because we're most concerned about humans, most of us are, and you just don't deliberately dose people with a toxic chemical. Given the evidence that exists in the peer-reviewed scientific literature, the amount that's considered safe for TCDD exposure varies enormously, and this, I think, is a somewhat older US EPA versus World Health Organization slide, but you notice the literature upon which scientists and policymakers based this. In the United States, they thought something like 0.01, and then forget the rest of it. And the World Health Organization, 1 to 4. So 1 to 4 is a much larger amount than what US EPA feels is a do not exceed or tolerable daily intake, whatever one wants to call it. Same scientific literature, so there is going to be discussion for years. And if the IOM committees keep meeting for years, they'll have something to talk about. There are a number of major incidents that we've learned from. We've learned from Agent Orange in Vietnam, and we're continuing to learn. Times Beach, Missouri, Binghamton, New York, a PCB transformer fire, Seveso, Italy, TCDD only from an industrial incident, Yusho rice oil poisoning, PCBs and dibenzofurans in Japan in 1968, where the people contaminated with poisoned rice oil or contaminated rice oil in 1968 actually became ill. There was no doubt, as there is in Vietnam, as to who's ill or who isn't. a very similar rice oil poisoning, and this is rice oil used in cooking, occurred in Taiwan roughly 10 years later, 8 years later. And those people were followed for a certain period of time, and Walter Rogan of NIEHS particularly followed some of them. There are others. How do you know? We've been talking about the Stellmans, and others have used the potential environmental exposure. Where was their spraying? And if you read very carefully, Gene and Steve Stellman will say exposure, what is it, opportunity. They do not say exposure. And CDC's point of view now and then, I think, in the lab portion, is that the internal exposure, how many molecules or how much got into people as measured in fat or blood or breast milk, is what really counts. It's not whether there's dioxins or PCBs in the room next to us, where there's a potential for us to be exposed, but probably we're not going to be exposed, versus having it in your body by doing biomonitoring. So there is still a debate. The environmental exposure is great. If the air levels are high, it's cheap to do, not for dioxins, but for a number of chemicals. It's fast, and then you go later and look and see if the people have the toxic chemical in their body. Dioxin can come from incineration, just burning household garbage, toxic waste, hospital waste, in herbicides, as in Vietnam, or in pesticides, which we found in China when we looked. Smelters can produce this paper and pulp bleaching with chlorine, which raises the question of green chemistry. Do you need bleached white toilet paper or not? And reservoir sources, these stay around a long period of time, as EPA points out. Cement kilns sometimes use them. And what we believe is probable, what many of us do, and I'm not speaking for the Institute of Medicine or the Veterans Administration, but from my work at NIHS and at various universities, we believe dioxins, and I said plural, but the one that's been most studied is the one in Vietnam, TCDD, in Agent Orange. Cancers can be initiated or promoted. They can be started or made worse. Immune deficiency, the inability to fight infections, to simplify. Reproductive or developmental pathology, spina bifida and encephaly, for example, are considered, if the mother is exposed, to be possibly related in some cases to dioxin exposure. Endocrine disruption, thyroid, a number of other diabetes. Nervous system that was described partially here, also changes in IQ and nerve conduction velocity, which was also covered earlier. Liver damage, skin rashes, increased blood lipids, which usually lasts for a little while and goes away. And then, as we heard, heart-related conditions. Certain types of cancers have been thought to be more associated with dioxins than perhaps others. And as we heard, the prostate cancer is still being evaluated. Skin cancers like melanoma is being evaluated. And if the Ranchon study gets going again, and if CDC gets to do really good work in Vietnam with the registries, we should have some new answers within 10 years, I hope, or sooner. Well, the reproductive thing, some of this is what started out the funding for all of this research. Vietnam veterans were concerned about increase in spontaneous abortions, emotional problems in the kids, lower IQ in the kids, altered sex hormones, malformations like spina bifida and encephaly, cleft palate, maybe hydronephrosis in animals more than in humans, and altered sex ratio with more girls being born than boys, which was described in Seveso, Italy. And that's probably the only good thing about dioxins. We have more women than men in the world today. That was a joke. It's not official policy. It does not represent University of Texas policy. Okay. Diabetes, thyroid disease. You can find most of this covered in very nice Institute of Medicine reviews, and the IARC study, the World Health Organization evaluation of Vioxin, done some years ago, does a very thorough description of what was known at that time from animal studies and human studies. Again, how do you know about dioxin exposure? The potential for contact, where was it sprayed, what was it, the food contaminated? Certain signs or symptoms, skin rash, chloracne. Chloracne is only high dose in some people, it's rare. But the gold standard now is blood dioxin measurements done by high resolution gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. And the labs alone will charge over $900 for commercial rate for this, so it's an expensive test. We're getting most of our dioxins from animal fats, meat, poultry, fish, dairy products, very little from fruit, very little from vegetables, very little from air or water. And the naval question is going to be an interesting one, and I was glad to hear that IOM is now addressing this problem. The levels of dioxin vary over time. It's going down in Americans now. It's higher in South Vietnamese, where there was more industry, than in North Vietnamese, where there was less industry. And there's some subtle ways of examining the toxicity. There is no good way of reducing or removing it from the body. Everything that's been tried so far doesn't work. It can increase the amount of the feces, but the blood levels go down at more or less the same rate. And this was tested on a group of people in Vienna, not Viktor Yushchenko, but another poisoning which is not so well known. These are things that have been tried, including Pringles potato chips, and none of them work, so prevention is the best way, and there's no specific treatment. Preventing exposure, as was described earlier, is the best by far way, and I hope to see that money ratio from the U.S. government reversed a little so that more attention is paid to the people than to the soil. There are a bunch of references and